And we continue at 106 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's the sports desk across the glass.
John, it just broke a few minutes ago. R. Kelly has been sentenced to 30 years for sex trafficking and racketeering after being found guilty. In that context, let's hear the best moment of Gayle King's entire career.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my
Robert.
30 years of my career! Y'all trying to kill me!
Well, if he was angry back then, he's got to be angrier today. 800-222-KABC is the telephone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is my pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He is the dean of the Sacramento Press Corps. He's also the political columnist for Cal Matters. You can read him online at calmatters.org and follow him on Twitter at Dan Calmatters. Dan Walters, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start out by talking about Gavin Newsom's ad buy in the state of Florida. Gavin Newsom, of course, was elected back in 2018 to be governor here in California. He survived the recall attempt last year by wide margins. His name will be on the ballot this November. He's seeking a second four-year term, which means it makes zero sense, unless he has ambitions far beyond being governor of California, for him to buy television ad time in the state of Florida, which is exactly what he's doing. Now, he said that he has no plan to run for president in 2024, but I can't imagine why he'd be buying ad time in Florida unless he had national ambitions. Your thoughts?
Oh, I think he has national ambitions, all right. I'm just, I don't know whether those national ambitions mean running for president of the United States. Clearly, at the very least, Gavin Newsom wants to be a figure, a central figure in the Democratic Party, maybe even a lightning rod figure, because he has, he likes to do that sort of thing. He likes the attention, you know, period. So this could just be one of Gavin Newsom's bids for attention that he does simultaneously. And then he, to get himself more airtime, more national exposure for the Democratic Party. Does that mean he wants to be president? I don't know. And, you know, he sends out some pretty mixed signals. He says no, first of all, because even if he wanted to, he would say no. So you don't take that at face value. And in some respects, it's convincing because he's not doing the usual sort of things that a politician would do to start running for president. He hasn't been addressing any dinners in Iowa or making forays into New Hampshire or anything like that. He didn't go to the global climate change conference in Scotland. He was going to go, and he said, "No, I'd rather stay with my kids." So you know, it's a mixed signal. Certainly, he likes the attention. There's no doubt he wants to kind of establish himself as the kind of gadfly in the Democratic Party. No question about that. But does it amount to running for president? I don't know. And you also have to see, is there an opportunity for him to run for president? Think about that. Joe Biden's president. Kamala Harris is vice president. And he says he hopes she would become president if Biden doesn't do it. They share political consultants and have very similar roots in San Francisco politics with Willie Brown, kind of as a mentor for both. Maybe it's something along the lines of be there, lightning could strike. Biden would say, "I don't want to be president anymore. I'm too old," or something. Kamala Harris, who's not really that doing that well in the polls and so forth, maybe she kind of doesn't go or something. He could be there, you know. Everybody knows his phone number. They could call him up, you know, something like that. I don't know that he's going to openly or even clandestinely run for it, but maybe just to raise his profile and get himself some more time on the talk shows and that sort of thing. And then you have to say, but what else is there? He's going to be reelected this year. The natural thing for him to do, if he doesn't run for president in 2024, would be to run for Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat, because it's almost 99.9% certain she's not going to be running for reelection, even though she says she is. And then go to the Senate and join the Hall of Winds and get a lot more national exposure for some point in the future. In a way, it would have been Gavin's news. If he does have presidential ambitions, in a way, it would have been better for him for were Donald Trump to have won a second term, because then the office would be vacated in 2024 and he would have a free run. But having Biden president and Kamala Harris as vice president complicates that scenario. But maybe go to the Senate. Maybe Trump wins another term in 2024, or a Republican does, and then maybe he would run for president in 2028 or something. He's not an old man, so I mean, he's got time for that sort of a up the ladder sort of thing. You have to assume that he has some kind of ambition, because why else would he have gone to all the trouble of waiting around as lieutenant governor, a very pointless office, for his turn to be governor? So you have to assume he wants to do something. But the question is, what is that something? Whether it's just to be a thorn in everybody's side, to try to be in the Twitter sphere, take jibes at the governor of Texas and the governor of Florida, and that sort of thing. Of course, the governor of Florida may be the Republican nominee in 2024. That's a possibility. Or maybe he does think, maybe in the back of his head, somebody said, maybe lightning will strike. Maybe the party will need someone, and I would be that someone. Of course, that's not to say that Gavin Newsom would sell well in their country as a whole as a presidential candidate. He's got a lot of liabilities, starting with the fact he's from California. But, that hasn't stopped people from running before. Pete Wilson ran for president back in the 90s, and for what reason? Nobody has ever been able to figure out why he tried to do it. Jerry Brown ran for president 3 times. It's out there. When you're governor of California, you're almost naturally some sort of a national figure. And he's certainly trying to even raise his profile beyond just being governor of California. But to what avail? I don't know. I don't know that he knows. I think maybe it's just, hey, What they used to say in advertising circles is running up the flagpole to see somebody salutes, right?
Here's what I don't understand about him. He's the governor of a deeply blue state, and he's going to win re-election. And the state that he's governing has a lot of problems that needs the engagement of the people in charge of government. Yet whenever he gives a speech, you can tell he spends a lot of his free time watching the conservative media. He can tell you what happened on Tucker Carlson the night before, what Sean Hannity's talking about, what Laura Ingraham's talking about. He purposely, by the way, mispronounces their names, including Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. But he watches One America. He watches Newsmax. He's up on Truth Social. Why is he so engaged with conservative media? I don't understand that.
I think he would tell you if you asked him, he would say, because nobody else is. Because he said it at one point not too long ago. He thinks the Democratic Party is a bunch of wusses and are not being confrontational enough to the Republicans and is letting the Republicans steal the march on the Democrats. And so he thinks that the party needs to become more confrontational, head-on confrontational with not only Republicans, but the media outlets that are obviously Republican oriented, and stir up the pot. He thinks the Democrats need to stir up the pot and not be more proactive rather than reactive in the larger political sphere. And maybe he just likes it. Maybe he just enjoys being the provocateur. It's entirely possible that he does.
You referenced his criticisms of the National Democratic Party. I saw on one of the Sunday shows, Nancy Pelosi was asked about that, and she did not seem like she was a happy camper about the criticisms. Yeah. He criticizes them and then says, well, but I'm not talking about Joe Biden or Kamala or Pelosi or Schumer or the DNC. I'm just talking about Democrats. Well, those are the people running the Democratic Party right now.
Yeah,
they certainly think that he's talking about them.
He's being a little disingenuous. He's being a little coy, shall we say, a little coy, trying to, used to thing called kidding on the square. You know what kidding on the square is? That's kind of kidding on the square. You know, he jabs at them. They know he's jabbing at them. He knows he's jabbing at them. He said, I didn't jab at them. You know, I mean, Newsom has that kind of a mind. You know, he's a restless sort of person, and he he loves being the center of attention. I mean, this is a guy who will take 3 hours to explain every last morsel of detail in the state budget to a bunch of reporters who could care less about how much money he's giving to the Kumquat fruit exchange or something like that. But he's...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
There, and he does it because he loves showing off. He loves showing off. He loves showing off how much he knows and how bright he is. If you really want to put a little psychology in that, he says showing off is a sign of a inner lack of self-worth or self-confidence. Right? Think about that.
That's true.
Why does he need to show off? Why does he need to be validated every time he gets up in front that he's the coolest, hippest dude in town? You know who else is exactly like that? Willie Brown. Jerry Brown's not like that. Exactly the opposite. Willie Brown is like that. Always has to prove that he's the hippest, smartest dude in the room, and that's Gavin Newsom. He has this need to do that. Jerry Brown didn't need to do that. He kind of was that way in his first governorship when he was much younger. And later in life, it was just the opposite. He didn't want the attention. He didn't want to show off. He didn't want to do any of that stuff. He was very matter-of-fact, very, sort of thing. But Gavin Newsom has this need to show off. Show off. I mean, you know, how kids do. Show off. Brag. Exaggerate. That sort of stuff. He does that. That's his psychological need. Which tells me that there is some deficiency in there in terms of self-esteem or self-worth or confidence or something. If you need that kind of validation, which is not uncommon among politicians, by the way, as we all know, think of particularly a former president of the United States right now, always needs to show off, always needs to be the center of attention, always needs to want people oohing and aahing. But it shows a certain lack in there of some kind. It's one of my observations of politics, and it's a little philosophical, but after watching politicians for 60 years, I kind of separate them into two overall overriding categories. Those to whom their political careers are the embodiment of their entire being, and those who look upon their political careers as just something like a civic duty. The difference between, let's say, Lyndon Johnson and George Bush the Elder. See the difference?
Absolutely.
And that's regardless of party, regardless of ideology, regardless of morals or integrity or anything else, you can generally put politicians in one of those two categories, and it will it will tell you a lot about not only them as a person, but how they approach the job of politics. Because to somebody for whom it's life itself, cannot abide the idea of losing, can't abide the idea of losing a camp election or something, because it's like giving up part of your life. Where do you take George Bush Sr.? He lost an election. Did it change George Bush? Not in the least. Absolutely not. Ronald Reagan, he was his own guy. It didn't make any difference. He was his own guy. And that's the difference between or Jimmy Carter. He is what he is, whether he's president or not. And as opposed to somebody like Lyndon Johnson or Richard Nixon or some of the other two, to whom being a politician was the essence of their lives. And there's a difference. And I think we're finding out that Gavin Newsom, maybe that's what kind of a politician he is. It's the essence of his life. It's not just a civic duty to him.
We're speaking with Dan Walters, columnist for Cal Matters. Dan, based on your observations, what is Gavin Newsom's relationship like with the legislature? And I ask that because whenever we have members of the legislature on, the Republicans say they have virtually no relationship with him at all, which is the opposite of what they say about Jerry Brown. They say they would pass by Jerry Brown in the hallways, and if they wanted to talk to him about policy or some piece of legislation, he was happy to have the conversation with them. And they said you just kind of run into him on the way to Starbucks sometimes. Like, he was always around the Capitol, and you always had access to him. They say
and
they
that
have
was true of the press corps as well.
Okay.
Basically the same thing, that kind of a relationship. Gavin Newsom, he has, I would call it, a transactional relationship with the legislature, not a personal relationship, a transactional relationship. In other words, they do business. They do the business they have to do, but there's not much what you might call kindred spirit or real true team morale involved in the thing. Not at all. Zero, I would say. And because they look upon Gavin Newsom pretty much the way I just described him, that he's a guy who's out for something, always want to be the center of attention, and is not to be trusted to be a teammate so much as somebody you do business with when you have to do it. And you know, you can understand that difference, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then he has double-crossed the legislature on more than one occasion. So they, in politics, in capital politics, in retail capital politics, day-to-day transactions, whether it involves legislators, lobbyists, or even the media, is it all operates on an assumption of trust. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, you do it. You don't double cross them. You don't go back on your word. There's nothing written down. You don't have any written contracts. All you have is your word. So if I tell a source that I'm not going to reveal the source, I will do that. I will not reveal the source. And he knows I won't do it because he trusts me, because we have that kind of a relationship. It's just the way the Capitol operates. You tell, if a legislator tells another legislator that I will vote for your bill, you vote for the bill. If you tell somebody that you're going to amend the bill to do XYZ, you amend the bill to do XYZ. You don't renege on it after the fact. Now, it happens sometimes, and when it does happen, it's bad juju, bad juju. And Gavin Newsom has not developed that kind of a trusting relationship with members of the legislature or anyone else. And that colors what actual happens. And a good example of that was this, because it kind of covered up most of the time, but the thing that went on for weeks and weeks and weeks on how they were going to shape the plan to give people back money was a good example of that. And there were some other things. When the legislature put out their budget, which was a kind of a phony budget, nevertheless, the governor's office was taking public pot shots at the legislator's budget. Well, that's not done. You don't do it publicly. You get together and you talk about it. But they were taking public pot shots at each other over a number of the issues in the budget. And that tells you that it's a transactional relationship. It is not any kind of a personal relationship, a trustful personal relationship.
Dan Walters, columnist for CalMatters. You can follow him on Twitter at DanCalMatters and read him online at CalMatters.org. Dan, I could talk to you all day. Thanks so much for stopping by.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. In this next segment, Randy, I know it's going to be difficult for you to do this, but I think we owe it to the world. Do you think we can do a segment about convenience stores being robbed without making any judgments on the cashier?
It's going to be difficult. I mean, I wouldn't make any judgments on the cashier. I can't say the same for our computer.
If the cashier is dummy.
Now, we have no control over what the computer does. We only have control over what comes out of our mouth.
Yeah, people think that I fire these drops. It's actually completely automatic. It's an AI system developed to react to the news.
So I just want all of you to know that despite whatever you hear in this segment, that both Randy and myself have no judgment to bear on any of the cashiers involved in this story. For more, here's KTLA.
Yeah, Frank and Lynette, good morning. It was 2 o'clock this morning off of Whittier Boulevard, just east of the 605 at the 7-Eleven you see behind me, when three men walked into that 7-Eleven and robbed the employee who was inside of the store alone at the time. That employee telling me that he remembers the look in those suspects' eyes, and he knew by their body language and the look that they were up to no good, which is why he went to grab for his baseball bat. Here's what happened next, according to him. Listen.
Three criminals walk into a 7-Eleven and you can fight them off with a baseball bat?
What does the computer say about that?
If the cashier is dummy.
They ask me why you take a baseball. So I tell them, so that's my protection, you know. So I go backside my store. So the other guy came, so he pushed me. So then I go to the door, another guy, he blocked the door. I cannot go outside. Then the another two guys, maybe they jump on the counter, they take the whole drawer and walk away.
How much money was inside of that register at the time?
Idea for $500.
Yeah, if I'm a cashier and there's $400 in the till and three people want it, I'm not grabbing the baseball bat. I'm running away.
And then telling the guys that you're not going to batting practice after your shift is over, tipping your hand and telling them that that baseball bat is there for protection.
If the cashier is dummy.
Poor guy.
The man was not the only convenience store employee robbed this morning. Look at this map. There were two other robberies that happened overnight just before the one here at 7-Eleven. One at 12:50 a.m. in Pomona off the 60 at Reservoir. That's pinned on the far right side of your screen. The other one at 1:05 a.m. in Diamond Bar just west of it off the 60 at Brea Canyon Road on the far left side of your screen. You see that Whittier location here at the 7-Eleven. Now, all three employees robbed this morning described the suspects as three black males in dark clothing. Authorities have not yet confirmed if the robberies are connected.
I think we can pretty much sum that one up.
Oh, come on. Three 7-Elevens robbed the very same morning. The suspects all have the same description, and they all happen right in a row near the freeways, and you don't know if they're connected?
I think it's a pretty easy connection to find. I mean, they're not going to go to a Circle K. They can't get the refill there on their Big Gulp.
I'll tell you, I know that the computer has a lot to say about the cashier, but I think the detective is dummy.
Well, I don't have that, but...
Is the citizen dummy?
Now, here are the details of what happened at each location. At 12:50, Pomona PD received a 911 call from an employee saying the Arco AMPM was robbed and the suspects stole an unknown amount of money from the register before taking off. No employees or customers at that Pomona location were injured during the incident.
All right, not a dummy there.
No.
Give them what they want.
All I'm hearing is silence from the computer.
Then at 1:05 a.m., that second robbery that happened at the AMPM and Diamond Bar, well, the employee said that the suspects took an unknown amount of cash as well from the register and fled northbound on Brea Canyon Road. By the way, this is the second robbery within 2 days at that same exact Diamond Bar AMPM location. The employee also unharmed.
Two robberies in 2 days.
Boy, that 7-Eleven in Long Beach is going to have a run for its money.
Then at 1:05 a.m., that second robbery that happened at the AM/PM in Diamond Bar.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Well, the employee said that the suspects took an unknown amount of cash as well from the register and fled northbound on Brea Canyon Road. By the way, this is the second robbery within 2 days at that same exact Diamond Bar AM/PM location. The employee.
At what point do you just decide maybe we're going to a cashless location?
I don't know how they find people. With the labor shortage that's going on in the world right now, would you want to work at that AM/PM during the graveyard shift?
I wouldn't want to work at the AM/PMs near where this old radio station used to be on West Adams, where there was 3 inches of bulletproof glass between you and the guy trying to take your money to use the gas.
No, 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 thank you.
Also unharmed during this incident. Then 50 minutes later, that is when this 7-Eleven off Whittier Boulevard was robbed. The employee you heard from continued to work. He was not injured. He said the three suspects walked out with that $500 in the register. They got into a dark vehicle and then drove eastbound on Whittier Boulevard. Come back out here. I continue to talk to that employee who remains a little shaken up this morning. And everyone who's coming into that store says this never happens at this location just east of the 605. If you have any information.
Except all the other times that it's happening.
That's what this entire report was about. How many times these convenience stores get robbed.
Five. If you have any information about what happened at this location in Whittier or at the Diamond Bar location, you can contact LA County Sheriff's Department.
Wait, how would anyone have any information if nobody else was in the store? I mean, I know they have to put that at the end of these stories to make it seem like there's something you can do to participate in society. But these cashiers were working by themselves at 2 a.m.
Maybe they thought someone was in the bathroom. I don't know.
Five. If you have any information about what happened at this location in Whittier or at the Diamond Bar location, you can contact LA County Sheriff's Department. As for the Pomona incident that happened early this morning at 12:50, contact Pomona Police Department if you have any information. Those suspects still at large. That is the very latest in Whittier. I'm Megan Tellis. I'll send it back to you, Frank and Lena in Hollywood.
And like 20 minutes after they filed that story, there was a report of yet another convenience store in the San Fernando Valley that got robbed of $3,000 of cigarettes.
Good Lord. Now, let's think about the geography of all of these robberies, and you tell me if you can figure out the through line. We have a convenience store in Whittier getting robbed. That is right over the hill from Fullerton and Orange County, the county line. Then, instead of going into Orange County, they move on to Pomona, which is right near the San Bernardino County line. If you go right over that line, you go into Montclair, and that's San Bernardino County. But they didn't go to Montclair. Where did they go? Diamond Bar. Diamond Bar in LA County. If you go right over the county line, that's where you go into Orange County. That's Brea Placentia. So these robbers hit three different convenience stores in three different cities, all near the county line. But they made the conscious decision to stay in L.A. County and not to go over the county line into Orange or San Bernardino counties.
I'll tell you who's not dummy. These robbers.
No.
They know where the county lines are, and they know who the district attorneys are.
So just so you know, 7-Eleven employees, you have a great big bullseye on your head because you work in Los Angeles County with George Gascon as the district attorney. And all of the people who are thinking about knocking off a convenience store understand that. They're not doing it in Brea. They're not doing it in Upland. They're not doing it in Montclair. They're doing it in Los Angeles County.
And when it comes to the people that voted to put George Gascon in office in Los Angeles County,
is the citizen dummy.
The citizen is dummy. One of the things that always happens whenever the fake doctor has to testify before the LA County Board of Supervisors is that she can't get the computer to work.
She has an entire staff of IT people that help her figure out her Zoom because, as we have pointed out many times, the woman that makes $535,000 a year doesn't know how to use Zoom and doesn't know how to use PowerPoint.
Next slide.
And yesterday, for once, it actually worked, and they made a big deal about it at the Board of Supervisors.
Ready now for set matter number two, our public health order. Dr. Ferrer, our Director of Public Health, and Dr. Christina Galli, Director of Health Services. We'll hear from you both.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm hoping you can hear me.
I can. Thank you, Dr. Ferrer.
Okay. Great job, everyone who worked on that. Good afternoon, and thank you, Chair Mitchell and the entire Board of Supervisors, for your continued leadership and support throughout our ongoing efforts. I'm pleased to...
Well, apparently she's not the only one who has IT issues whenever she's doing something over the computer. Randy, our next example. I'm trying to figure out how I should introduce him.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
So Alec Baldwin was having a conversation with Woody Allen over the computer.
An Instagram interview for some reason.
And while they were talking about Woody's ideas about the world and his love for jazz music, among other topics, they couldn't get the computer to work. Let's listen.
I think the only positive thing that you can come away with there is if you really love something and you do it with sincerity, there's a chance that you can communicate.
Uh-oh.
What happened there?
Buffering. Buffering. Al, got a vamp.
You broke up there.
Nope, still nothing. That connection is dying. He's just kind of staring straight.
We lost him. Are you there?
Nope, he's definitely not there. Still the connection, the video call has gone dead.
We froze. Can you hear me? Because you guys are frozen.
Nope, they cannot hear you.
You don't want him to lose his temper.
Can you hear me?
He's going to shoot the computer.
He's starting to realize that this interview is on pause.
Leonella! Leonella! Pasta! Los perritos, pasta!
Wait, was that English?
No. I think he's yelling at either he has a Latinx person that is running his IT, or he's yelling at his housekeeper.
Maybe he's like Ricky Ricardo. When he loses his temper, he starts screaming in Spanish.
Leonella! Leonella! Pasta! Los perritos, pasta!
You know what? Maybe because his wife likes to say that she's from Spain, even though that she's not, maybe they speak only Catalan Spanish in the household.
If you just shot two people, would you want to present yourself to the world as a rageaholic who gets upset that the computer connection goes down and then you start barking orders at your staff in a foreign language?
Leonella! Leonella! Pasta! Los perritos, pasta! Las perritas, suficiente!
I gotta put that in a Google Translate.
Pasta, los perritos, pasta. Las perritas, suficiente.
Las perritas, suficiente.
All right, we'll try to translate that and figure out what it means.
Maybe someone can call in if they're bilingual.
It's 1:55. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.